Welcome all our listeners once again. With us now at the moment, as we have been promising you, very well known rather to the listeners of Radio Islam, is Fadilatul Sheikh Sajid Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Sajid, for joining us. Now, I think maybe I'll leave the introduction to the series of the program to you, Fadilatul Sheikh, then myself.
Okay, barakallahu feekum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم النبيين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن دعاء لا يسمع رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمن بالخير وبك نستعين ثم أما بعد Respected elders and brothers, my dear mothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Indeed all praises is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we repent to Him, and we seek His forgiveness and help. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our own selves and from our wicked deeds. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, then none can lead astray. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads astray, then none can guide. And I bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu, or first and foremost, I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and messenger. In answer to your question, Sheikh Muhammad, inshallah we hope every Sunday in Ramadan for an hour we hope to discuss a little bit surrounding our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concentrating on the aspect that he is a mercy to mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, Allah said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and we have sent you, O Muhammad, not but as a mercy for the alameen, for the mankind, for the jinn, and everything that exists. So inshallah, this is what we hope to concentrate on in our four sittings, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Sajid, for your very precious and valuable time to discuss with us Ar-Rahmatul Al-Alameen Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, why is this particular topic, why is this topic so important, especially today's time?
Na'am, this topic is extremely important, especially since we find today that Islam is trying to be discredited in every social setting. Today, many acknowledge how quickly Islam spread. It spread throughout the Arabian Peninsula. But the issue that we have right now is this prejudice that exists beyond reason. And we find statements in various works of the Orientalists or those enemies of Islam that like to say that Islam spread through the sword. Islam spread through forceful means. So it's this kind of misconception that we need to rectify and correct. We need to clearly educate people the reality of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how indeed he was a mercy to the entire universe.
Fadil Sheikh, a little regarding the lineage of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Wallahi, the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an extremely noble one. And he is the best of the best, and his lineage as well is extremely noble. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lineage is clearly documented in the books of history. Every one of his fathers is known all the way back until Adnan. And even though historians disagree about the names of Adnan's forefathers, they agree that Adnan and by extension the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a direct descendant of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam. And we find that Ibn Kathir in Al-Bidayah wa Al-Nihayah, he describes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lineage all the way back to Adam alayhi salam. And then if we look at Ibn al-Qayyim in Zad al-Ma'ad, he says he points out that the scholars that specialize in genealogy and looking at people's lineage and heritage, they agree about the names of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's forefathers until Adnan, who was a direct descendant of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But they disagree about how many of Adnan's forefathers separated him from Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now, keep in mind that the word Ibn in the Arabic language obviously means son of. And if we bear this in mind, then we can say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's full name and lineage is Muhammad Ibn Abdullah Ibn Abdul Muttalib Ibn Hashim Ibn Abd Manaf Ibn Qusay Ibn Kilab Ibn Murrah Ibn Ka'ab Ibn Luay Ibn Ghalid Ibn Fahir Ibn Malik Ibn An-Nadhr Ibn Kinana Ibn Khuzaima Ibn Mudrika Ibn Ilyas Ibn Mudar Ibn Nivar Ibn Mu'id wa Ibn Adnan. This obviously is found in Sahih al-Bukhari along with Ibn Hajar's explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari.
Na'am. Fadhilat al-Shaykh, is there any specific reference made to the purity of the lineage of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
Na'am. Jazakallahu khairan for this question. But before I answer the question, I'd like to pose a question to the listeners, inshaAllah. As I believe this is a phone-in program, and hopefully they can phone in and shed some light. My question is, how can we respond to the prejudice against our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the statement that Islam was spread through the sword? Is that clear, Sheikh Muhammad?
No, very clear. Now, how do we respond to the prejudice against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the fact that Islam spread by the sword?
Now, in answer to your question, there is actually a hadith of that answers the question that you have asked in Sahih Muslim, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى كِنَانَةً مِنْ وَلَدِ إِسْمَاعِيلَ وَاصْطَفَى قُرَيْشًا مِنْ كِنَانَةً وَاصْطَفَى مِنْ قُرَيْشٍ بَنِي هَاشِمٍ وَاصْطَفَانِي مِنْ بَنِي هَاشِمٍ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Kinana from the children of Ismail, and he chose Quraysh from Kinana, and from the Quraysh he chose the children of Hashim, and from the children of Hashim he chose me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this shed some light on the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates that which he wills, and he gives a certain precedence to certain things over others. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاللَّهُ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّي الْعَلَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates that which he wills, and he gives a certain precedence and importance to certain things over others. And this is made manifest in the actual month that we are experiencing right now, the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the month of the year and gave a special precedence to the month of Ramadan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the days of the week, and he gave this special precedence to the day of Jumu'ah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the nights of the year, and he gave a special precedence to the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And when we speak about the last 10 nights of Ramadan, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a special precedence to Laylatul Qadr, the night of decree and power. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the days of the year, subhanallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted a special precedence and importance to the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yakhluqu ma yasha'u wa yakhtar. He creates that which he wishes, and he grants a special precedence to that which he wishes as well. When we look at the lineage of the Prophet, we find that all the Prophets after Ibrahim alayhi salam, they are connected to him, because Ibrahim alayhi salam had Ishaq and Ismail alayhim salam. But an interesting fact is that all the prophets after them were linked to Ishaq alayhi salam, except Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for he is linked to Ismail alayhi salam. Now,
So this is Shaykh speaking of the lineage of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair for that clarification and understanding. There is much that we can talk of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a mercy to the universe, but I think in the coming weeks we'll focus on more specific points. Briefly, can you summarize the birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the advent and passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam? It's a very compressed question that you've asked, jazakallahu khairan, because to discuss the seerah we need hours and hours, days, in fact months probably.
Yes.
But jazakallahu khair for the statement, but before I continue I'd like to ask, has nobody still phoned in?
Not that
this question of ours.
We're still waiting either, so the lines will be open inshallah. 0118541548 and SMS on 0726012483.
And one shouldn't feel shy. They should phone in with their constructive points, because even this is an act of ibadah. It's an act of worship, defending Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is an opportunity to earn rewards practicing a specific worship this Sunday morning between 9:30 and 10:30.
Inshallah.
For those who are listening to the broadcast on Radio Islam, alhamdulillah. In reference to the question that you asked.
Just to repeat your question, I think, to the listeners again, it is, how do we respond to the prejudice against the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the fact that Islam spread by the sword? How do we answer these questions? I think we have a call online, Sheikh Sajid. Fadal.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti Shahid.
Naam.
And assalamu alaikum to your guest, honored guest, Sajid, Sheikh Sajid. Yeah, firstly I would, refer, mostly to the non-Muslims. I would refer them to an ayat in the Quran, and then I'll elaborate on it further. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah 16 verse 125, invite all to the way of your Lord with wisdom and beautiful preaching, and argue with them in ways that are best and most gracious. Now I will explain to them that, from the time of our beloved Prophet, the number of Muslims has grown from, nothing to over 1.7 billion. Now, this, it hasn't been done through the use of any sword or anything. It has been done through the beautiful preachings which our, beloved Prophet has taught us, and, to show the people, the beauty of Islam. And, Islam is the best way of life, and it is the preferred choice. And at the moment, Islam is the fastest growing, religion in the world. And therefore, people are not, no swords are being used in recent days. So, why are droves and droves of people reverting to Islam? And, the Muslim traders, they went far and wide, in the early advent of, Islam. And through their honest dealings, those who were honest, that's where the beauty of Islam is shown. And that is why so many people accepted Islam.
Sheikh Sajid?
It's a very, very beautiful point that you mentioned, and the verse that you referenced is apt and encompasses that which we are discussing today. Jazakumullahu khairan for that very important input, brother.
Jazakumullahu khairan, brother Abu Bakr. Barakallahu fikum for that call. On that point, how do we answer to a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subsequent, just after the battle of Al-Ahzab, the Khandaq, that is the battle of the trenches, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to Sahaba, "Al-an naghzuhum wa la yaghzuna aw kama qala
Sahaba." Excellent, I can hear you now.
How do we answer to this here?
First and foremost, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, it's pertinent and important the hadith and the verses from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are understood in the correct context. And this understanding has to be based on the explanations of the pious knowledgeable before us who explained these hadith. And inshallah, further clarification of the question that you have asked, inshallah, will be made manifest and apparent in my response to the question of this particular session.
Mm-hmm.
So if you permit, I can just continue now summarizing the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then when we deal with the answer to the question of the session, I'll answer it in detail there, inshallah. But jazakallah khair, brother Sheikh Muhammad, for that particular question. It is an important one.
Mm-hmm.
But in reference to your earlier question about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously he was born during the year of the elephants, or the year during which Abraha famously led the an army actually towards Mecca with the intention of bringing down the Kaaba. And obviously Abraha failed in this attempt, but it became a famous point in history. Thus, it was sort of referred to when people were mentioning dates. So normally we find so many years before the year of the elephant and so many years after the year of the elephant. And more precisely, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I advise all our listeners to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when they hear the word of, when they hear the name of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you as well. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man salla alayya salatan wahidatan, sallallahu alayhi biha ashara." That whoever sends this blessings and salutation upon me, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase it tenfold.
Mm-hmm.
So we should ensure that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through sending peace and salutations and blessings upon Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So more specifically, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born on a Monday in the month of Rabi al-Awwal, it is widely and correctly accepted amongst the scholars that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born during the year of the elephants in the month of Rabi al-Awwal. In fact,
mm-hmm.
Some of the scholars went as far as saying that there's an ijma', a collective agreement or consensus on two points amongst the people of knowledge, and inshallah we will cover that a bit further. But history shows that he was born.
Now, we have a caller online, I think, in response to our earlier question as well.
Okay.
Caller online, assalamu alaikum.
Salam.
Fadal, brother, you are there?
Ji.
Now, yes, brother, you are on air, live with Sheikh Sajid. You may go ahead.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa laqabat muttaqeen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. At the outset, I would like to say that when the Muslims in Makkah al-Mukarramah, when there were few and no force was allowed to be used against the Kuffar, and many people had accepted Islam willingly out of their free will, and there was no force used. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not even allow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba al-Kiram to use any force or to retaliate against anyone, and Islam has spread at that time, although it was just a few people that accepted Islam, but Islam has spread it. Another answer is that which Allama Iqbal rahimahullah ta'ala has mentioned in his poetry form. He says, "Yehi kehte rahe tagh se phaila Islam, yeh na irshad hua toob se kya phaila hai." The kuffar has always made this allegation against Islam that Islam had spread with sword. So Allama Iqbal said, "My question to the kuffar and to the disbelieving folk and the disbelieving world is that what has spread, what force they have used, what atom bombs and all different types of missiles they have used, what has spread with that?" And as we know, in World War One and Two, how many casualties were there? What only thing had spread with that was destruction, nothing but destruction, no construction. So Islam has, when it started initially, there were about 9 to 13 years, there was no force use, and Muslims were told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have patience and not to retaliate. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to one particular family that you must make sabr, and for you is Jannah. So that shows that no force had used initially, and even after Hudaybiyah, we know how Islam has spread because of the treaty that they have done. So most of the people have accepted Islam initially was due to the fact that they have seen the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and good character of Muslims, and they have accepted Islam.
Naam,
jazakallahu khairan.
Okay, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the brother for that input. Do we have any more callers?
We have another call on the line. I think we have two calls on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sister, you may go ahead.
I'd actually like to quote a famous historian, and his name is Thomas Carlyle. He wrote a book, in his book called Heroes and Hero Worship, he refers to this misconception about the spread of Islam through the sword. And his actual words are, "The sword indeed, but where will you get your sword? Every new opinion at its starting is precisely in a minority of one, in one man's head alone. There it dwells as yet. One man alone of the whole world believes it. There is one man against all men. That he takes a sword and tries to propagate with that will do little for him. You must get your own sword. On the whole, a thing will propagate itself as it can." Mm-hmm. Unquote. So basically what the brother is trying to say is that does it make sense that a man starts off with an idea which exists in his head only, and then, you know, he's the only one who has his idea, thereafter he picks up a sword and he tries to go and propagate that idea and he convinces the rest of the world to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's ridiculous. But if you want to talk about sword, we should speak about the sword of intellect, because that is the sword, the real true sword that convinced people to accept Islam. And if you look at how many Muslims in all the countries, I mean, of the world, right, if you look at Indonesia, for example, the largest number of Muslims in the world, right, and yet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was from the Arabs. We have more Indian Muslims than Arab Muslims. We have more Indonesian Muslims than Indian Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Islamic government left those places, what sword was it that made the people continue to practice Islam and remain Muslims? That's a question we'd like to ask other people.
Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah khair, sister, for that. Wonderful. I think we're getting in some lovely input here.
Well put, and a very carefully stated. Jazakallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, dear sister. Jazakallahu khair.
We have another call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam. How are you, Mulana and Yuri?
Alhamdulillah. Fadla, if I may go ahead.
First, I'd like to say that you don't know where it's rightly been said that you don't know where you're going till you know where you've been. So for ourselves, personally, first, I think we should stop and take stock. We should read the seerah of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the way he interacted with people, the way he took Islam to the people. And in doing so, we will learn Islam, live Islam, and love Islam.
Mm-hmm.
After that, then when we begin to vilify our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, will we know how to react. Mulana, when he returned from Taif and the angel of the mountains came to him and Jibreel came to him and said, you know, we can bring down the angel and the mountains and through these people. He took the long-term view. And he said, no, inshallah, their children will, inshallah, accept Islam. And so when people begin to vilify our Prophet, don't react in the way they expect you to. Don't burn flags, burn buildings, throw bombs. Don't do that. Rather, react with your akhlaq. Show them how we love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, enacted. Take the long view.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, make dua for them. They expect you to, you know, go out and kill. Don't kill. Show them the way our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was. His character spoke to people. Actions speak louder than words. So don't say anything. Rather do. Be kind. Be generous. If they ask you about Islam, take Islam to the people, Mulana.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in doing so, then inshallah, they'll open their eyes and see the truth.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khairan for that lovely input. Again, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Jazakallah for calling us. We have another call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hi, Mulana.
Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
Assalamu alaikum to Sheikh Saadid as well. Just a small
salam wa rahmatullah.
Just a small contribution towards a question about spreading by force.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that any ideology that is spread by force has to be maintained by force.
Mm-hmm.
As we saw with communism, apartheid, we see with Zionism today. But yet Islam is still flourishing all over the world without force. So that shows that it wasn't spread with force. Jazakallah. Mm-hmm. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam. So I think that's for closing the mark, I think that's a beautiful one. Eh? MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Sheikh Sajid, we have 2 minutes to the close of the program. I think you're closing your comments on this.
SubhanAllah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I deserved a few more minutes since we started late. Khairan, inshallah. So I think we'll give the summary of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for next week. And hopefully we'll get a full hour, inshallah. The callers, alhamdulillah, summarized a lot of points. And I think what we need to understand is the importance of learning the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Understanding
the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in reference to him and teaching the ummah. In answer to the question for this particular week, alhamdulillah, as I gave cognizance to the callers, mashallah, called in and were appropriate with the answers. But it's also important that we read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we understand the verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about his beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O mankind, verily I am sent to you all as the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this encompasses the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to the entire universe. And in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an actual favor and blessing for mankind. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِن كَانُوا مِن قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conferred a great favor on the believers when he sent among them a messenger from among themselves, reciting unto them his verses, i.e. the Quran, and purifying them from sins by their following of him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he instructs them in that found in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as al-hikmah, which is the wisdom and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he taught them the book of Allah and he shared the sunnah, which in this particular verse is referred to as the wisdom. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن كَانُوا مِن قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ, whilst before that they had been in manifest error. Subhanallah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in fact a mercy, and wallahi, there is no greater gift than one actually being removed from the darkness of disbelief and shirk and placed into the light and a boulevard of tawheed. This itself is a great gift that no other gift can match. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. So, whilst today the non-Muslims acknowledge that Islam spread with lightning speed, as we actually heard from some of our callers, and whilst we made manifest the presence of this prejudice, it's also important that we share with our listeners certain points from the seerah that show the mercy aspect of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, if we look in the seerah, we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's staunchest enemies became his closest followers when this cloud of blind prejudice was actually removed from their sight. And they were actually able for the very first time to see with clarity the true nature of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's look at the story of Thumama. He was forgiven by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he expressed a sentiment that was shared by several enemies of Islam. He said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Wallahi, ma kana ala al-ard wajh abghada ilayya min wajhik, faqad asbaha wajhuka ahabba al-wujuhi kulliha ilayya. Wallahi ma kana min deenin abghada ilayya min deenik, fa asbaha deenuka ahabba ad-deen kullihi ilayya. Wallahi ma kana min baladin abghada ilayya min baladik, fa asbaha baladuka ahabbu fa asbaha baladuka ahabba al-biladi kulliha ilayya. Subhana rabbi al-ala. He says, by Allah, throughout the entire earth no face was more despised by me than your face, and yet now your face has become the most beloved of faces to me. And he said, by Allah, throughout the entire earth, no religion was more despised by me than your religion, and yet now your religion is most beloved of all religions to me.
by Allah throughout the entire earth. No land was more despised by me than your land. And yet now your land is the most beloved of all lands to me. And we can find this particular narration in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Now, whilst Tamama was deeply affected by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's forgiveness to the point that it led to his entry into the fold of Islam, and I want to concentrate on this point. It led to the entry, it actually led him to Islam, not the sword, but the forgiveness, the mercy aspect of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It led to the entry of Islam. If we look at another story of Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam, we find that he too, as the Mama, was moved by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's gentleness, by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's kind way, by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's manner in teaching. So moved, in fact, that Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said, "May my father and mother be sacrificed for him, neither before nor after this time, or nor after his time, rather, if we translate the Arabic correctly, have I met anyone who teaches better than he does." Subhanallah. Look at this. No one who teaches better than he does. So Islam was spread through forgiveness. Islam was spread through a teaching, not as specified by those prejudices against Islam. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the story of the Bedouin. And just for those who are taking notes, we can find the story of Muawiyah in Sahih Muslim. If we look at the story of the Bedouin, who was similarly moved when, due to his own ignorance and Bedouin habits or uncultured habits, actually entered the masjid and urinated in the masjid. Now, whilst the those present were reproached him and were ready to grant him the necessary discipline that was needed for practicing that particular practice in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was gentle with him. Gentle with him, while teaching him and making it clear that his act of urinating in the masjid was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And after listening to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Bedouin had to exclaim, and he said, "Oh Allah, have mercy on me and on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and do not have mercy on anyone other than us. La ilaha illallah." That's how touched he was, that he asked Allah to have mercy on him and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only. But look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again teaching him, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it was wrong of him to actually limit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy to just two people, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is vast and encompasses all things. And in the Arabic language, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Laqad hajjarta wasi'an," and you've actually made narrow that which is wide and vast. And we can actually find this narration in Sahih al-Bukhari. We have a few more minutes for me to continue.
In continuation, I think our question still stands. Obviously, we don't have any doubt with regards to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being rahmatul alameen, and the fact that Islam did not spread by the sword. But just to play, as they say in inverted commas, a devil's advocate, or we don't want to even say, be that. But the question still stands with regards to the hadith which we asked earlier on, with regards to the offensive jihad and no longer the defensive. Now, how do we answer that question?
Now, as I said from the outset, we need to understand these situations based on the occasion and as well based upon the explanations of our pious predecessors. And there are several ways to answer this hadith. First and foremost, we know that the Muslims were persecuted for years. They were persecuted in Mecca. They were being constantly attacked in Medina. In fact, the Badr took place not because they intended a war. They intended to get a little bit of the huquq and rights that were taken away from them whilst they were in Mecca.
Mm-hmm.
They left everything, their homes, their belongings. They were persecuted for saying La ilaha illallah. And with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Kuffu aydiyakum." Don't raise your swords against them. Subhanallah. This is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we do know that Islamically one is allowed to retaliate and receive that which was taken from them. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Kuffu aydiyakum." Fa'afu anhum wasfah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in all these verses, even though they're being persecuted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to forgive, to lower their hands, to strengthen themselves. And if we look at the battle of Al-Ahzab that you've referenced, that could have led to great casualty for the Muslims, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يعني وكف الله المؤمنين القتال, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved the believers from a war there, because we know that they united, the enemies of Islam united and came there, and with an intention of wiping out Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy dictated after the patience, the exercise during that particular battle that actually didn't take place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom dictated that from now on we will not be attacked. But if anything's going to happen, then we are going to be the ones that will go back to take our rights that have been taken away from us for the past 23 years. Subhanallah.
Beautiful,
well, for the so many years that we've been persecuted before obviously the opening of Mecca. So this is how we need to understand the hadith. The problem comes in, Sheikh Muhammad, is when people look at our sharia and they look at one hadith or one verse and they comment on it. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ Woe be upon those who read salah, who observe the salah. Now, if you just do tafsir of that verse without doing the tafsir of what comes after it, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ, you're going to misguide the people.
Exactly.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, woe upon those who observe the salah. But who? Those who observe the salah after its fixed and prescribed time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important we look at the sharia holistically as a whole, mm-hmm. and not with one part without giving due cognizance and recognition to the other parts, so that we have the full picture. And we all know that al-hukm fi shay' far'un an tasawwurihi. This is a qa'idah in ifta'. For those who study fatwa, we know that the ulama say that before you give a ruling or giving a ruling in something can only be done after we understand the reality of the situation that we actually giving this ruling in. So I hope this answers the question and shed some light on
that. Alhamdulillah, I think it's a beautiful explanation of that hadith. You know, it's very important what you say, that people should not look at one particular hadith or one ayah and misunderstand or misinterpret it. We've got to look at the ayah holistically, the context it was revealed, the context the hadith was mentioned by the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I think just recently with regards to the burn the Quran day, the pastor who we have no doubt to say that he is the Kalbu Hadha Zaman, and he says that Islam says that kill the non-believers. Yes, there is an ayah in the Quran like this, or the Quran does say it, but you are misquoting the Quranic ayah. We have to understand it in the proper context, inshallah. Fadhil Sheikh, we have already exhausted all of our time, even extra time and injury time also exhausted. We have to leave you now. Inshallah, we hope to take the discussion further next week, inshallah. And I have received some suggestions for our further programs. Maybe perhaps how Islam or how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a prophet of mercy to the females, or the softer gender, if we could say it like that. Maybe we could look at it in the further program, inshallah.
I give you good news that is in my plan, inshallah. And I want to thank you all for hosting me, Mulana Sulaiman, and Radio Islam, and I love you all for the sake of Allah. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.